Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour with Pastor Harold E. Salem. The mission of the Christian Worship Hour is to share the good news of the gospel with a lost world and to encourage and equip Christians to pray for our families and our nations. Please join with us and the members of our church family as we study the incomparable Word of God. And stay tuned to learn more about how you can be a part of God's amazing plan to reach the world. We hope you will be blessed by today's program.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And are we ever happy? We're right in the Christmas season. What a wonderful time. My favorite time of the year. And I think it's because, well, we get presents and all of those things. But we're talking about Jesus, the gift of Jesus. And just think, in just a few days now, we'll have Christmas Eve. And so we're going to be thinking about a sermon today where the wise men ask a question, where is he? And that's going to be our sermon topic. But before that, I want to read some of the letters. We get so many good letters, and let me tell you, we read every letter we get. Sometimes we get over 100 a day. Well, we read every letter we get. And if you have a question, a spiritual question about it, we'll answer that. We'll help you out the best we can, and together as we make this wilderness journey. But let's read some of these letters. Here's one from Sarasota, Florida. And, oh, I like this letter here. It says, I'm an old retired animal dentist. Thank you for all you do and the manner in which you do it. I'm very confident you will long outlive me, so here's the deal. We will meet at the Great Livestock Corral in heaven. If I get there before you, I'll leave the gate open. If you get there first, you can close it. Loving what you do. Now, do you think for a minute I close the corral gate on an old animal dentist? I wouldn't have the heart. I'd just say, Doc, come on in. And at 94, my guess is I'll beat the doc. But we'll all be at that great corral, and won't that be something? God bless you. Here's Venus, Florida. Thank you so much for proclaiming the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I always know I can take a deep breath and relax when I watch the Christian Worship Hour because there's no hype. The gospel speaks for itself, so thank you. Well, I tell you, we're everyday people, and we got just a little old studio that we use, and we're just giving the Lord without any hype. We're just preaching the Bible, preaching the Word of God. That's what you have to have. And that's where the power is. And I always tell these young pastors, preach the Bible. Preach the Bible. Because when you preach the Bible, you can preach with authority. You don't have to say it might be, could be, hope so, or anything else. You say, thus saith the Lord, Buster. And that's it. Oh, I love to preach. Been preaching over 71 years now. And I know people say, oh, I think you could do better after 71 years. And I tell them, well, you should have heard me when I started. I made a lot of progress, and I'm not done yet. Now, here's one from Morton, Illinois. God bless you at the Christian Worship Hour. Your program has given me great peace and encouragement. See, that's what God does. Now, we can't give anybody peace and encouragement, but the Word of God. You preach the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, and He applies it to hearts, and He blesses souls, and He brings people into the kingdom of repentance and turning to the Lord. It's all the work of the power, the Word of God, and the Spirit of God. And we're just the pipe that pipes in the water of life, and then they take care of it. And they always do a good job. And I tell young pastors, preach the Word and you'll be successful. May not have the biggest church in town, but in God's sight, you'll be successful. Well, let me see. Here's another one. Elmo, Montana. And they write and say, I just wanted to donate to your services because I cannot get to a church. Your sermons are the only gospel I have. I can't drive. I have no company, no family, and no friends to help me. I am totally alone. Thank you for your prayers. Well, you know, there's a lot of people like that. And the Christian Worship Hour, we have three things in our goals. First is to honor and glorify God. The second, to bring poor lost sinners to Jesus. And the third is to comfort God's people, because some of God's people having hard times. And so we give the wonderful promises of God. I will never leave thee or forsake thee, and that I'll be with thee to the end of the age, and that he loves us with an everlasting love. Oh, that's the good news. Wonderful good news. And then here's one who writes, and they talk about suicide. And I want you to know that we have put out a little booklet, and it's called Can a Christian Who Commits Suicide Go to Heaven? And right on the title it says, yes, indeed. If you are a Christian and you commit suicide, you're as good as in heaven. You are in heaven. You're saved. And you can write to us. Let me give you the address right now, because maybe some of you want it. It's a Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you write to us, just say suicide, and we have a booklet of 10 pages, and it's all scripture. It's not I died and came back to life again, or I had a vision, or somebody told me, or something like that. It's all scripture. And if you don't get comfort out of that, it's because you won't read it. If you read it, God will bless you. Here's one more I want to read. Groveland, Florida. Jesus came into my heart, forgave me of all my sins. I'll do the best I can to please you in all I do. Jesus, come into my heart. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Now, what we do, we write to this is a lady, by the way. We'll write and we'll send a little packet. It's for Christians that are getting started. It's the same packet that Billy Graham uses at his crusades. And it'll help you get started in the Christian life. And it'll encourage you and give you some thoughts on how to get along. And so you just write to us. If you've accepted the Lord, we'll send it to you for free and postpaid. And also then our little booklet on suicide. You want that? Maybe you have a friend that needs that. And you just send a gift if you have it. If you're in prison, you don't have any money. We hear from a lot of prisoners. We'll send it to you just the same. If you're on Social Security, no help, no money, we'll help you and we'll send it. Somebody else will make for it. So you send it to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now for today's sermon, we want to think about where is he? We're in the Christmas season, 11 days till Christmas Eve. And so our sermon today comes from the words of the wise men. The wise men came and said, where is he? Now, they're called different things. The King James Version, the Revised Standard Version, the Jerusalem Bible, calls them wise men. The Phillips Modern English calls it a party of astrologers. The New English Bible has astrologers. The New International Version has magi. Well, these men came from the East, and the magi or wise men is a good name for them. And they were skilled in philosophy, medicine, and natural science. And so they were out and they were searching for the truth. They wanted to know the truth. And so you can just believe that these people were wise and they were searching. And they said, where is he born? And they said, the birth of a prince, but he was really the birth of a king. Jesus was not born to become a king. He was born king of the Jews. He was in his infancy, as a baby, he was the king of the Jews. So the Magi come, and they're searching for Jesus. And we can call them wise men. That's as good as a name. That's as correct as any of the other names. So in our message, we'll call them the wise men. And right away, we'll say, well, how many wise men were there? And then somebody say, well, everybody knows it's three, because that's what we sing. We three kings of Orient are. So there were three. Well, there might have been 31, because we don't know. We really don't know. And the ancient church in the eastern part of the world, they had a tradition that there were 12 wise men. And, you know, that makes sense. There were 12 apostles. Maybe there were 12 wise men. Well, it doesn't matter. We really don't care. We just don't know. And another thing we don't know is we don't know the exact day of Jesus' birth. We use December 25th, but Probably it wasn't December 25th, but really, who cares? It doesn't matter. He came. He's here. Their wise men came to see him. That's all we need to know. And these wise men come and they have a question. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Where is he? Well, one place he is. He's in the bosom of the Father from all eternity. Christmas is a celebration of the advent of Christ into the world by human birth. It means he came and became one of us, except without sin. Christmas does not mark the beginning of Christ because Jesus Christ existed long before he was born of the Virgin Mary. Christmas is merely the day in which we gave, the world is set aside to celebrate the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. In John 17, Jesus prayed, "Glorify thou me with the glory I had with thee before the world was." He's talking to the Heavenly Father. And before the world was, he was in the bosom of the Father. Again, he says, "Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." So Jesus didn't start his existence in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. He was here before the world was even created, or there ever was a man on earth. John 1:18 does not say he was in the bosom of the Father, but he is in the bosom of the Father. And so you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. And if you are going or listening to some faith and they don't believe in the Holy Trinity, get away from them. They're not of the Lord. They're coming from it someplace else. And so there's one, the Lord Jesus Christ then is in the bosom of the Father. Where is he? He's in the manger in Bethlehem at his incarnation. That is, he stepped out of the pages of the Bible, the old book, and he came into the stall and he took on himself flesh, except without sin. And you know something? That flesh went to the tomb, and he was raised, and in his flesh he ascended into heaven, and someday he'll come back again in the flesh. That flesh will be his forever and ever, and the scars in his hand and his side and his feet will be for his forever and ever. We'll see those scars that were placed there because Jesus loved us. Oh, God, how could somebody love us that much? And so he did it because he loved us. God gave his Son, and because he loved us and cared for us. And then we can say, where is he? Well, he's in the will of his Father in service. And when you see him only as a lad, he's in the temple discussing with the men, and they can't understand how he's so wise, because he's God. He's God and he's man. He was God and he is God and always be God. But there was one time in being God, he took upon himself a human body. And he came the way all flesh came, born of a woman. Except Adam, who was made came from the hand of God. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus, before his birth, it was prophesied in Hebrews 10, verses 5 to 7. When he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. So I'm coming, I'm born, in my flesh I can die on the cross. In my flesh I can do the will of God and do the teachings. And so he says, I come to do thy will when he came into the world. And in his lifetime, while in his ministry, he says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And so then he prays just before the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thine be done. And so he's teaching us that's the way you ought to live and I ought to live, in the will of God. Where is he? Then he comes to the cross and he dies. And it says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And he's being crucified. And God is saying now out of heaven, where is he? Where is my beloved Son? What have you done with my Son? I sent him. What have you done with him? Where is he? And he's on the cross. That's what we did with him. Jesus Christ, the holy, sinless Son of God. And you know God was angry when we did that. And Jeremiah, in the Old Testament, he says this, that God has a controversy with the nations. A controversy with the nations. And that controversy is over the spilled blood of his son. And God is saying to the nations of the world, what have you done? Was no light thing, and God saw it, and God knew it. Listen to the prophet, and he talks about God's judgment on those who reject his son. Jeremiah 25, verse 31, a noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. Then Jeremiah says, he will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Now here's what he's saying. He says, what have you done with my son? You've crucified my son. And then he says he's pleading with, I plead with all flesh. He's pleading for you to come and accept and confess your sins, the wickedness of the death of Jesus and the rejecting him. That's the big sin. You reject Jesus. You won't take him into your life. You won't submit to him. You won't surrender. And God says, I want you to surrender. And if you don't, here it is. He says, he will plead with all flesh, but of those who reject him, listen to this, he will give them that are wicked, those who reject Jesus, he says, to the sword, saith the Lord. Those who refuse to repent and refuse to turn to Jesus Christ, he's going to beg you, but if you refuse to do it, there's going to be a slaughter. He's going to slaughter the wicked, and they're going to be judged in hell forever. That's the Bible. That's God. It's not some little Mickey Mouse thing. It's eternity. It's your eternal soul. And that's what he's saying today. Well, he's saying to you, what have you done with Jesus? Have you opened your heart to Jesus and asked him in? Or have you turned him away? Have you taken his name in vain? Have you laughed at him, stomped on his blood and underfoot? Have you turned your back on Jesus? You say, I'm neutral. I'm not going to be either way. Jesus says, if you're not with me, you're against me. No neutral ground. You're in or you're out. You're his or you're not. You're saved or you're lost. It's heaven or it's hell. That's it. And so God's saying, and we're saying, where is he? Oh, he's on the cross. And then he's in the tomb. This wonderful dear Jesus is in the tomb. But he wasn't there very long, was he? Because he was raised from the grave. And now we say, where is he? And he is outside the tomb. And he is alive. And he'll be alive forever. And there'll never be an end to that life. And oh, how they tried to keep the body of Christ in that tomb. They set up guards. They says, don't have anybody come and steal his body. They had guards there, and they were there at the point under a sentence of death if they lost that body. And then they put the seal of the emperor on that one grave. And Christ came forth, and he was seen. Oh, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 15. He was seen. He was seen. He was seen. He's alive. And he's alive forever. And so he was dead, but he is alive forevermore. So where is he now? Well, he's on the throne of his Father in heaven. He's at the right hand of God. The world cast him out, but the Father took him in. Men put him on a tree. God gave him a throne and a crown, this wonderful Jesus Christ. And so in Hebrews 10, verses 12 to 14, we are told, but this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Right now, Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the throne of God. And you know something else? Well, everyone that accepted Jesus is with him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, listen to this. And hath raised us up together, everyone who receives Jesus has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are already in heaven. And we talk about people, they're worried they're going to lose their salvation. You can't lose it if you wanted to. When you accept Jesus Christ, you're a part of his body and you're seated with Christ in heaven right now, right this moment. And that's the point. This wonderful Savior. I got a letter just this yesterday, and this man says, I worry about whether I'm going to lose my salvation. Oh, God. If you could just see it, then when we accept Jesus Christ, we're a part of his body. His body will never be in hell, any part of it. And we are seated with Christ, and we're right with Christ in heaven right now. It's as good as done. We're predestined to be at the throne of God and seat with Christ. Oh, what a glorious gospel. Talk about Christmas present. I'm giving you a Christmas present now. You can have Jesus and you can have this wonderful thing, this wonderful Christ. But I want to ask you, dear friend, as far as you're concerned, where is he? Is he outside your heart or is he in your heart? That's all. That no other discussion. He's not off yonder. He's not coming. He's not, you're thinking, you're suspecting you might, you're hoping, you're wondering, you're dithering around. You don't know whether you're coming or going. He is in your heart or he's not in your heart. That's all. And if he isn't in your heart, I am begging you before the judgment of God comes, because brother, it's going to come. And God have mercy on those outside of Christ. And you pray, dear Jesus, I'm sorry I sinned against you. If you want to name some of the sins. And then you just say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. Wash my sins away in the blood of the Lamb. You don't have to say all those things. Just ask him to come into your heart. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. In your own words, just ask him into your heart and turn from your sins. That's repentance. It's always there. And you're going to fall back maybe, but you just ask God to forgive you. Ask Jesus. He says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I ask for Jesus to forgive my sins every day. Not to save my soul, because I'm going to heaven no matter what I do. No matter what I do. Because I'm in Christ and I'm seated already in heaven. So I don't confess those sins to go to heaven. I confess those sins so that I'm open to the Lord. So I have fellowship. You have an argument with your wife. You're never happy till you say you're sorry. You confess your sins. You say you're sorry. You make up. You kiss. And then you have that fellowship again. See, that's what it is all about. And it doesn't mean he's going to cast you away when you sin. If you're his child, you're his forever, and you can just lean on it and trust on it. Robert John Rippon puts it so well. It talks about, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. And then Rippon says, fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand up, held by my gracious, omnipotent hand. In death to old age, all my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And then this verse. And when silver hair shall your temples adorn, like lambs shall they still in my bosom be born. Do you get that? Isaiah says, when our hair's gray and we're old and we're shriveling, and the body's breaking apart and the outer man is disintegrating, but the inner man is getting stronger. He carries us. He not only carries the little lambs, he carries the old people too. And some of you are saying, I'm hurting today. I'm alone today. And I don't know which way to turn today. And now my husband is gone, or my wife is gone, or my child just died. I don't know. The devil afflicts us every way he can. And then you just know, underneath of the everlasting arms, Jesus loves you, and he'll carry you through. Just lean on him. Lean heavy on him. And then write to us. If you are accepting Jesus today and you want some literature, we have some literature to get you help you started in the Christian life. And it's the same literature that Billy Graham gives out of the Crusades. It's a Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you write to us. Or you can get us at ChristianWorshipHour.com. And then we hope that you'll support us and help us financially, because we need to have your help that way. So you maybe want to write to us and send us a gift. But whatever you do, accept Jesus. And if you're one of those that need comfort, if you want to write to us, we'll send you some literature and we'll pray for you and we'll love you, because we're all a part of the body of Christ when we accept Jesus. And I don't know what my future holds, nor do you. And it doesn't matter, and I don't care, because I know who holds a future, that wonderful, wonderful Jesus. And he was there ahead of me. And he'll always be ahead of me. And he'll always guide and direct. So you write to us, and we'll send you. And if you want to, we have a little Bible study that we put out every month. And it's called The New Song. And this month we're talking a little Bible study, and we're about what shall we name him? I think that's what the study is. What shall we name him? And it's a Bible study on Jesus and his names. And so you write to us, box 2002, post office box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, and we need to hear from you. And in the meantime, you can pray for us and tell your friends about the new Christian Worship Hour, because they can get help and they can get strength. And I know they can. I know it'll bless you. I know it'll help, because we're using the Bible. If I was just giving my ideas and what I thought and did, we'd be in trouble. We wouldn't get anywhere. We'd all end up in the ditch. But, oh, we got the precious Word of God. And the Word of God changes not. And the Word of God abideth forever. And though heaven and earth pass away, Jesus says, my word will never pass away. It's always there. And so you'll get the Bible. And you get those promises. And you get those help. And then you write to us and you pray for us and we'll pray for you. Tell your friends. Maybe somebody else needs some help. They need to come to Jesus and they need encouragement. I don't know what it is, but God knows and he loves you. So wherever you are in this whole wide world, you can come to Jesus. He loves everyone. God so loved the world, and he included you. And in spite of our sins and our wickedness, he'll receive us if we come to him. So God bless you. We're going to be thinking about you. We're going to be looking for you next week. We're all preparing for Christmas. Let's prepare our hearts. And the best way to prepare for Christmas is to say, where is he? Jesus is in my heart. And I love him. And I serve him. And I lean on him. And I rejoice in him. And he's always there. And he'll take me all through life and carry me over. God bless you. God loves you. We love you. In Jesus' name.
You've been watching the Christian Worship Hour, the weekly broadcast that brings good news to the lost and encouragement to the believer. We hope that today's program has been a blessing in your life. Support our ministry by contacting us at the Christian Worship Hour, P.O. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or visit us online at ChristianWorshipHour.com. Be sure to join next week for another life-changing message from Pastor Salem.